we are now done with the technicalities of this bhajan. Let's move on to the aspect of feeling the depth of emotion that this bhajan conveys. Mrs. Lalita Shekhar, a Radio Sai volunteer from Bangalore, is someone who has deep reverence and love for the mother. Let us ruminate on her reflections as we sing this bhajan. Sairam, Mrs. Lalita Shekhar, and welcome to this episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom.
Sairam Vishu, Sairam to all our listeners.
This bhajan, Ishwaramma Priya Tanaya, evokes so many beautiful memories. You know, even though I am not someone who had the opportunity to physically see Mother Ishwaramma, but you know, there is one incident that happened which is very close to my heart and which only showed to me how profound is this phrase, Ishwaramma Priya Tanaya.
Mm-hmm.
When Heart to Heart started the Radio Sai's e-journal, it was an electronic journal, and though it started in 2003, we used to make printed copies mm-hmm. of this journal and offer it to Bhagwan to read. So that happened for a few months, and then for some reason that stopped. And later on, I joined the Radio Sai studio sometime in 2004. And after that, we expanded the journal, made it a monthly journal, and it was a very expansive 160, 180 page periodical. And I remember in the year 2006, we did the cover story on Mother Ishwaramma.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of the story was Mother Ishwaramma, the Crown of Motherhood.
Oh, beautiful.
And I remember after we finished that issue, that thought occurred that, you know, we used to give the printed copies of the journal to Bhagwan.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we start that again? And so we laid out the content again in a printable format and we presented to Bhagwan
mm-hmm.
this copy. We sent it to his residence. And that is when we started again offering to Bhagwan these issues. And many years later, one day, Brother Satyajit sent back
mm-hmm.
a few issues of Heart to Heart, which Bhagwan had kept close to him.
Oh.
And then he made a special mention of this issue, which was on Mother Ishwaramma.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what? When this issue was presented to Bhagwan, Swami took it along with him. He carried it and took it upstairs to his bedroom, he has only one room, to his room. He kept it on his dressing table. And, you know, he would so many times open this and, you know, see the pictures and be lost.
Mm.
And he kept it like that for so many days and months, actually. Well, this is one journal which was very close to Bhagwan's heart. This issue of Heart to Heart was very close to Bhagwan's heart because on the cover was the picture of the mother.
Mm.
And whenever I think about that, you know, it's your heart only bows down in gratitude to Bhagwan for having accepted that little work that we did. And it was also a revelation how much Bhagwan's heart always, you know, beats for the mother.
Yes. How much he loves.
How much he loves. And later on, when I had the chance to travel with Bhagwan to Kodaikanal in 1999, I remember how Bhagwan used to narrate stories of Mother Ishwaramma even now coming to him and being very concerned about Bhagwan, always cautioning Bhagwan to not accept everything from everyone. You are very loving and, you know, you accept whatever every person gives. Be careful when you're taking handkerchief because, you know, you put the handkerchief, you place it on your mouth, you place it on your nose, you don't know what people will put there. You know, the mother, always concerned. And it was always there, even after she left her mortal coil. Bhagwan used to narrate these instances, how Madhureshwaramma one day gave Bhagwan a belt, and she said that, you know, the belt you have, you are not very comfortable with. And Swami, in fact, had asked for a particular belt, you know, because he only wears that dhoti and then on top of that the robe, and he wanted a belt which is inconspicuous.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had got a belt, but you know, there were those buckles and that would show up. And so Swami, I remember, showed us a cloth belt, orange in color, which Madhureshwaramma had got.
Oh.
So, you know, there are so many such instances. This Isharamma Priyatana, you know, the darling son of Madhureshwaramma, is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that relationship is eternal.
True. So even after the mother left her mortal coil, the mother in her remained.
Always.
And Vishu, when you talk about it, I remember one small incident. How, when she was with Swami also, she always bothered about, and she was very much worried about his welfare and concerned about his well-being. And even those days, she had this thought, who would look after Swami after I leave? You know, the mother always worried about her son, who is very, you know, he who never bothers to take care of himself. So a kid who is not bothered about himself or herself is always a mother's concern.
Yes.
So and will always remain a concern for mother.
Yes.
For any mother. And the mother that she is, this one small incident comes to my mind. This is in the olden days, the days of Pathamandiram. The Kuppam family, the very famous Kuppam family, they were all there one afternoon and they were making garlands for Swami to wear. And then mother slowly walks to them and she sits among them. And then she very softly and slowly she asks them, can you please do me a favor?
Mm-hmm.
And imagine the mother of the Lord coming to you and asking you for a favor. Every devotee there, every lady there was very eager to fulfill whatever it was that is mother's wish. So they are all very anxiously said, yes, yes, very eagerly said, yes, ma, whatever you wish for, whatever you say, we will do. Then, but mother became a little hesitant after she said this. And she expressed a doubt, but what if you get cross with me after I ask for that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, she, mother is always very, very careful and cautious about you know, what she, how she speaks and what she says. We all had read about
yes.
her impeccable behavior and, you know, attitude towards devotees and everyone. Now, all the ladies immediately, they responded and they reassured her many times. No, no, it would not be so. We can never get cross with you. So please tell us what it is. And then mother looks at them and very slowly she asks him, will you please ask Swami to get married?
To get married. Oh my God.
So just like we are laughing now, everybody bursted out laughing. And then they said, then immediately they composed themselves. And they said, Amma, you yourself recognized that he is God. You realize that and you tell us also. Now, how can we go to God and ask him to marry? How can we do that? Then the mother very helplessly looked at them and she said, yes, that is true. He is God. But you know what? He is also someone who is never bothered about himself or his needs. And I will take care of him. I will see that he is not uncomfortable as long as I live.
Mm.
But once I leave, who would take care of him? Who would look after him? This is my constant worry. And this is why I want you to go and ask him to get married. Then they all, of course, understood the emotions and feelings and concerns and worries at the same time of mother. And one elderly lady there suggested, Amma, she explained very, very sweetly to mother why they cannot go to Swami and raise this topic, obviously. And then she suggested, why don't you go and ask Swami? You are his mother. You can tell him. The same thing. Mother got very concerned immediately. She said, no, no, he will get angry with me. He will scold me. He will not listen to me in this regard. But he loves all his devotees too much to get angry with them. He cannot get angry with you. That is why I asked you if you can do this. And then it took, of course, it took all of them some time to convince mother that it is not in their hands. It is not possible for them to. And very reluctantly, she accepted that it is not possible for them. But look at the concern of the mother, knowing, and by that time she had already realized, this is God that I'm looking at. This is God who is walking and talking among all of us. Not only did she realize it, she also helped others to realize it. And still, the mother in her is always concerned.
Always.
Always concerned about her Lord incarnate son.
Yes. You know? In fact, I remember when I was talking once to Ratanlal Amma, who had the chance to serve Bhagwan in the kitchen for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And one day when Ratanlal Amma was talking to Mother Ishwar Amma, because that was the dinner timings, the dining timings of the time when both of them used to meet. And Ratanlal Amma says that, you know, many days when she would get down the flight of stairs and she would be muttering, he became Pedda Devudu. He has become a Pedda Devudu.
He's become a big God now.
And then she would say to Ratanlal Amma, but she's also my son, no? He may become a big God, but he's also my son, no? So that feeling was always there, you know, a mother's concern. You know, when you were narrating this, what thought came to me is, you know, here is Swami, who is all the time concerned about everyone else in the world. And here is the mother who is all the time concerned about only him. Only him, you know. It's so fantastic.
He came for the upliftment of the entire humanity. And there is one mother who is always worried about him.
I mean, how many devotees are there really in this world who all the time think only about Swami and his welfare? You know, most of us, we think about, you know, we want Swami because we want certain things in our life.
Even if it is Swami himself.
Yeah, because we want something. But here is perhaps that single soul.
That single devotee that who single only devotee. Wanted Swami's, who only thought about Swami only, all the time. Yeah.
For Swami's sake, not for a moment her sake.
Yes, absolutely.
And it was like that all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
And there had always been, of course, Swami also, he always had, so many times he taught us about the importance and influence of a mother. Mother's importance is always stressed by Swami whenever he got a chance. He never, in fact, missed a chance to tell us about the importance of mothers and how they will shape up, what is their influence on their kids' lives and indirectly or thereby on the society, welfare of the society, nation and the world as a whole. Because every kid is going to become a world citizen tomorrow. And he or she is shaped only by the mother or mostly by the mother. And if you remember, Vishu Swami used to recite one beautiful padyam, a poem in Telugu.
Yes.
Sometimes before he started his discourse, this poem used to be, the first one to start with, in which he goes on to explain how Mother Sita had brought up Lava and Kusha to maintain, you know, to live up to the standard of their clan. And how Jijiabai, the mother of Shivaji, had taught him to be what he was. And the same lines, he also goes on to explain how he himself became Satyasai in the loving care of Ishwarama.
Because of the care of Ishwarama.
Yeah. Because of the care of Ishwarama. Yeah. So he, Swami also, not only he accepted her love and he always reciprocated it. If there is anybody that can convince Swami, that can melt his heart or about anything and pacify him, usually it's a mother.
It's a mother.
It's a mother.
Yes.
And he was, if Bhagwan is bound by a pure heart, and I think it is the same virtue by which he was so very bound to the mother also. There had been, and whenever mother also lived up to what Swami had made her to be, there had been so many occasions when her prayers had turned into blessings and her wishes had turned into boons. Swami reciprocated and fulfilled every wish because that was purely for the sake of others, and it is come out of a pure heart and very unselfish. So there had been so many moments like this, but then if you look at it, there had also been very tender moments between son and the loving, ever so loving mother. I remember one incident. This again was told to me by Vijayamagaru from Kupam family. Once when we were having a discussion with her about some program that we needed to do. So she was telling that whenever we get a chance, of course, you know it. Whenever anybody gets a chance to travel with Swami in the same car, nobody wants to give it up. No, somehow we all want to squeeze in. Now, there was this one time when Swami was traveling from Parthi to, I think, Brindavan, if I'm not wrong. And there were four of them in the back seat of a Fiat car. And the front seat was shared by the person who was driving Swami and also Bhagwan. Now, since there were four of them in the back seat, because of lack of space, they were almost sitting on each other.
Mm.
And mother had rested her hand on the front seat just to support herself. So many people were there. And Swami, who was sitting in the front seat, had to turn back to talk to the people who were in the back seat. In his own way, inimitable way, he was talking very lovingly and cracking jokes and all of that. And suddenly, Swami started to play with the bangles on his mother's hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is such a beautiful and tender moment. It's just like any kid, you know, making jingling noise of mother's bangles. He became that kid for a moment. And if anybody could bring out that kid and in Swami, in Bhagwan, it's only the presence of his mother and the love of his mother. You know, these tender moments are these kind of one or two moments when we observe and when we read about them, sometimes it makes us wonder that Swami, who always we had felt it, that he is the one who gives us the love of a thousand mothers, and God incarnate and Lord himself still sometimes secretly wishes to be mothered by someone.
Yeah. He has to come into a womb to come onto the earth.
Yes. Yes. He also needs a mother. And maybe, you know, he also loves that pampering by a mother and that concern of a mother. Yes.
In fact, you know, when you mentioned about this bangles incident, I remember Ratanlal Lama mentioning this perhaps similar incident or same incident where what happens is when Swami is playing with the bangles, Swami very mischievously asks Grandmamai, from where did you get these bangles? Mm. And, you know, and there the mother also, she so cleverly, she says, Who will give? Your father gave. She does not want to give the credit to Swami. Because obviously it is, you know, it was a hand-to-mouth existence for them. Mm. There is no way Pedda Venkaparaju could have afforded to buy anything that is gold. But, you know, because Swami asked so playfully and mother also gave it back.
Yeah. They were a match for each other.
And, you know, so everyone there, you know, they were just seeing this. And this was something which was common between the
mother and son,
you know. Whenever they were together, Bhagwan used to love to play with the mother.
Yeah,
you know,
he always used to love to pull her leg. And she was
And she would come down saying, my God, he's become a big God. Big God. So I think, you know, that is, there are so many such amazing moments that come to your mind, you know, when you're singing this line, Ishwar Amma Priyatanaya, Isha Mahesha, Shri Saisha, that God of the universe, you know, that Mahesha, Isha, who came down as Saisha, that Lord is the darling son of Mother Ishwar Amma. That is what is the first line. And if you go to the second line, you have the line as Purna Yugavatara, Yugavatara Saisha. And you know, when you sing this line, what comes to mind is how age after age you had the Lord incarnate, and at every such instance, in every era, there was only one soul which got the chance to be hailed, chosen and revered as the mother of the divine. And Swami mentions that. Swami says there is an intimate relationship between myself and Mother Ishwar Amma, and I chose her to be my mother. And you know, when this line comes, Yugavatara Saisha, those reflections come, you know, how in every avatar you had Mother Kaushalya, there was only one Mother Kaushalya.
True.
One Devaki and one Ishwar Amma.
Yeah, and these, they are very pure souls, obviously. And they are the chosen ones by the Lord. But the Lord also has to give them a glimpse of his divinity to make them understand that, okay, I'm not a normal kid that you think I am. With all your motherly love and affection,
yes,
still, you know, I'm someone special. If we find one such incident in Ramakatha Rasavahini, Bishu, I'm sure that you too would have read it many a times, of course. Once Mother Kausalya, she is so devoted to her kids that she never used to leave them even for a moment, it seems, after so many years of penance and the yajnams and yagas, and they got the kids. So she used to make sure that she attends the kids and their needs, and then only anything else will take priority. One day she bathed and fed all the four kids and made sure that they're all sleeping comfortably. And then she rushed to her to finish her daily rituals of worship. They have to do daily puja. They used to do daily puja. And on that specific day, she made payasam, that is a sweet made out of milk and sugar, as an offering to the Lord. So she finished her puja and offered the sweet to the Lord. And then she thought, okay, let me give my kids a little bit of the offering that I had made to the Lord. So she went into the puja room again to get the bowl. And there, to her surprise, she had seen baby Rama sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
He was a baby. So he was sitting there and he was having the same prasadam, the sweetened milk from the bowl. She was a little surprised. How did the baby crawl all the way up to here? And then she went out to check and ask the attendants how they had let the baby come in. But when she went to the bed chambers, all the four cradles were there, and baby Rama was happily sleeping in his own cradle and, you know, smiling to himself. And she was very, very surprised. And she thought, okay, this is some trick of my mind that is playing. I'm all that I'm thinking of him, so I see him everywhere. So she thought, let me go get the bowl and give some prasadam to all the kids. When she went into the puja room again, she had seen that the bowl was empty. Whatever was offered was not there. Nothing was there. It was empty. And when she had come back to see Rama, she had seen that, he was on his face for a moment, for a brief moment, she had seen the entire cosmos
mm-hmm.
in the face of baby Rama. And Swami so beautifully explains it. And that's when Kausalya had got her glimpse of divinity of her own son. So in this same manner, you know, Yashoda also had seen, had the same experience. And Devaki, Yashoda, they had their share of glimpses of divinity. And this is all...
And Devaki had experienced so many amazing, mystical, miraculous experiences when
Krishna was born.
Krishna was born. I mean, each thing was...
His birth itself was a biggest miracle.
Absolutely. Each thing was so astounding.
Yes. And of course, Mother Ishwaramma.
When you talk about Mother Ishwaramma, there is one incident which Professor Kasturi has mentioned in Satyam Shivam Sundaram, wherein, you know, one day Mother Ishwaramma had left something on the kitchen
mm-hmm.
and, you know, she came because the baby cried. And the baby had never cried. She says, after Bhagwan was born, he was always only smiling.
Mm-hmm.
He never used to cry. So it was a very unusual thing that had happened. And so she took baby Satya onto her lap. And then what happened completely bedazzled her, because suddenly she saw this aura mm-hmm. emanating from Bhagwan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so bright. It was so dazzling and sparkling, and it enveloped Swami and her entire being. But the most beautiful thing was, even though it was so mighty bright, but still it was soothing.
Mm.
It was not hurting. It was still very soothing. And so she didn't know what she was experiencing. And actually, she was so absorbed in that light that she actually after some time lost consciousness.
Oh.
And later, mother-in-law comes there. And she sees that, she's having the baby, a daughter-in-law is having the baby on her lap, and, you know, she has lost consciousness. And when she regains consciousness, then she narrates to mother-in-law what she has experienced. And then mother-in-law says, don't tell anyone, because, you know, when you narrate these things,
people will not understand.
People will not understand. They will carry so many tales. So don't tell anyone. So this he revealed after many, many years. And, you know, when you're mentioning about Devaki and Yashoda,
it's almost the same similar experience.
It's similar experiences. You know, it is similar. You have the same instances where Bhagwan would say that I have already had my food, and he would give his hand, and his hand would be spelling of ghee and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when mother asks who fed you, and he will say, no, the Gram Devata fed me. You know, the village deity fed me.
Right.
Something he would say. So I think everyone had such kind of experiences. And I think you can go on and on, you know, when you're talking about similarities.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the experiences of the divine mothers. And that's what comes to your mind, isn't it, when you're singing Yuga Avatara, Saisha, in the context of this bhajan. And when you move to the next bhajan, Purna Avatara, Saisha, and Prema Avatara, Saisha. Now, we were talking about how these mothers are so blessed. And, you know, rarely it happens that you have the Purna Avatara in your room, actually. You know, you have so many saints, you have avatar anshas, you know, who have godly people, you have self-realized souls. But it's very, very exceptional souls.
That Paramatma
decides to, you know, choose them and choose their womb. And I feel, you know, just like the Purna Avatara is complete, these mothers' lives are complete. You know,
yes.
They are complete in their virtues.
Yes.
They are complete whole in their set of virtues. And that's why, you know, when I was talking to Ratanlal Amma, she said, I asked her, can you narrate one virtue of Mother Ishwara Amma that, you know, every modern youngster or every lady in the current time should emulate in her life? What do you think is that one virtue? And she said, Are, what are you talking? One virtue? You open the scriptures, open all these texts about how should be the conduct of an ideal woman according to Indian culture, and you will find that in Mother Ishwara Amma.
Mm-hmm.
She is a living scripture on ideal womanhood. This is coming from Mrs. Ratanlal Amma, who has seen the mother for more than 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
She came to Bhagwan in the 60s. She has seen Bhagwan at very close quarters, at least for 10-15 years. So, you know, when we sing Purna Avatara Saisha, what occurs to me is, you know, even the lives of these mothers are so full. They are so full of virtues.
True.
Sterling. And when you come to the next line, Prema Avatara Saisha. Of course, we know we are talking about the Lord who is the love incarnate, who's full when it comes to expression of love, being that love. And, you know, when I think about it, even when Bhagwan chooses these people, he converts these divine souls also into Prema Avataras.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Whatever is touched. Paras, it's like
yes.
the
yeah.
philosopher's stone. It's like philosopher's stone. So whatever it touches becomes gold. So, and living with, it's not only giving birth to God and raising Him, it's also living with Him. And naturally the mother teaches the son, and then the son taught the mother.
Yeah, as you said, you know, the mother raises the avatar when the avatar is small, but after that the avatar raises the mother to the level of the divine.
True.
The avatar converts the mother into an avatar.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we saw in the life of Mother Ishwara Amma, isn't it? You know, she had this unbounded love for Bhagwan, which Bhagwan slowly expanded,
mm-hmm.
expanded, you know, because she saw how Bhagwan was serving, and that is what actually inspired her to really love the whole world when the whole world started coming to Prashant Nilayam. And later, she became the inspiration for Bhagwan for all these projects.
True.
Mm. You know, so in this bhajan, when you're singing Premavatara Saisha, what comes to my mind is, you know, yes, the mother is the most powerful force on earth. You know, even when God comes down as an avatar, He needs a mother. But it is also the time when Bhagwan demonstrates to the whole world who is an ideal devotee, how an ideal devotee is shaped. And when you look at the life of the mother, you know how the journey of an ideal devotee is. And when you look at the end of mother's life, that historic day, May 6, 1972. when she calls out for Bhagwan and Bhagwan comes down his room with a sari in his hand, silk sari in his hand, and you know, and he drapes the body. And Bhagwan, innumerable occasions, Bhagwan has said, you know about a person's life from the way they spend their last moment. That talks volumes about what kind of life they have led. And Bhagwan always used to give this example of Mother Isharama, who always thought only of Bhagwan. And that's what we started this discussion with, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mother always, she only had Bhagwan in her mind all the time. She was very, very concerned about his safety and his, well-being. Actually, one very interesting incident comes to my mind. Once Mother heard that Swami had agreed to go to a particular place which was full of atheists, and naturally it troubled her a lot. So she went to Swami with firm resolve to stop him from going to that place. She went to him and she asked, Swami, is it true that you agreed to go to this place? And when Swami replied in affirmative, she was almost in tears and she started to plead with him not to go there. You to rethink if he should actually really go there. Swami very smilingly and very lovingly, he said, see, how can you expect me to sit inside these four walls when I had come for the whole world? My area of work is outside. I have to go. And then he somehow pacified the mother and he reassured her n number of times that nothing would happen to him. He will be back safe and sound. And very reluctantly, Mother agreed. But that time, Vishu, I heard it from the person who was there at that time, present in the ashram. While Swami was gone on this tour, they not only missed his presence, they also missed that smile, that, you know, 1,000-watt smile of the mother, which bloomed only when Bhagwan returned to Prashanthi Nilayam, safe and as healthy as ever. Only when she saw him, she felt relieved and she was back to being herself. That's the kind of concern and affection that and care. And she used to go, she used to go and request the devotees who used to make garlands, please don't make them very heavy. They, it would inconvenience Swami. Oh. So make light garlands, don't make them heavy.
Wow, in fact, when you're mentioning about Bhagwan's travels and mother's anxiety, I'm reminded of how Bhagwan mentioned in his discourses that it is only because of the mother that he decided to stay on in Puttaparthi. Because mother was always concerned when Bhagwan went out of Puttaparthi, and so Swami promised the mother that I will speak Telugu and I will be in Puttaparthi. So if the basis of Prashanthi Nilayam is the mother.
His mother.
The basis of the mammoth missions is the mother. The basis of Bhagwan's unbounded love is the mother. And I think it is such a beautiful journey every time we sing this bhajan. And I think, these moments should envelop us and purify us and elevate us when we sing this bhajan. Ishwaramba, Priyatanaya. And I think every time, just like how the very mention of this word used to overwhelm Bhagwan's eyes. And I think every mention of this word also should make us fall down in reverence and obeisance to that divine soul who gifted to the world our beloved Sathya Sai.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Lalita.
Thank you so much, Vishu. Sairam.
Sairam.